Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we're going to take a look at Mars entering the sign of Aries. This is a big deal because Mars is now back in one of the signs of its own rulership, so Mars is picking up a significant amount of dignity. That means you're going to get real Marsy Mars for the next month plus. Actually, this transit takes us from here in the late part of May all the way through the early part of July. So it is a long transit, and what we're going to do today is take this Mars into Aries through all 12 sun and rising sign horoscopes, just to give you an initial feel for where you might notice this energy, which I feel, given the time crunch we're on this week, looking at a whole bunch of things, is probably the best way to prep for it. And then as the week goes on and Mars gets closer to the conjunction with Jupiter in Aries, we will be doing a number of videos kind of taking a look at that archetypal combination in order to get a feel for the earliest big event in the Mars-Aries transit. So, the biggest event of Mars through Aries is the conjunction with Jupiter. So we're going to be spending a lot of time on that, and that'll sort of cover it all when it comes to Mars in Aries, Mars and Jupiter in Aries. So keep that in mind, that these horoscopes today are also sort of including the implication is that right away, as Mars enters Aries, it's getting into the conjunction with Jupiter. So that's where we're heading for today. Don't forget to like and subscribe, share your comments in the comment section of this video, and click the notification bell for updates once you do subscribe. All of that helps my channel grow, helps this information get out there. You can find transcripts of my daily talks every single day on my website, nightlightastrology.com, where you can also learn more about my upcoming class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. It starts on June 12th. So check it out on my website. Click on the courses page, go to the first year course. You can scroll down if you want to. The horary class also starts on June 12th. If you have a background in traditional astrology and you'd like to add horary astrology to your toolkit, one of the most brilliant predictive forms of astrology in the history of horoscopic astrology, be sure to check that out. That is under the courses tab as well. You can see the horary astrology course right here. But the year one class starts on June 12th. We pushed it back just 1 week because of a little scheduling conflict that came up. You can learn more about the year one class on the first year course page, everything that it includes. It is a one-year immersion into ancient Hellenistic astrology. We're really digging deeply into the roots of this tradition so that we can hone and refine, especially our predictive abilities. Ancient astrology is amazing when it comes to accurately predicting and describing the karma that we are born into, along with all the lessons that we're here to learn and the different contours of our destiny path. And then, of course, one thing that's really unique about this program is we are also blending a modern archetypal / psychological approach when it comes to working with clients. So the last third of the program, you're going to be able to see what it looks like to work with live people. You're going to see me talking to people in my classes and going through live readings with people. All the students in my programs tend to love that the most. So the class consists of 30 online webinars. We have 12 guest lectures that come in. Those webinars are led by me on Sundays from noon to about 2:30 Eastern time. They're all 2 to 3 hours long. You can access them on the course website if you can't make it live. They're all recorded. Everything is kept for you online. There's interactive group forum discussion all year round that's really rich. There's a live tutoring staff that mans that throughout the year. And you can email me anytime as well. There's breakout study sessions in between major units where you can also go and get help reviewing what we've covered in case you need it. So it's a really well-supported classroom experience. At the bottom of the page, you'll find out the different ways you can sign up. The early bird payment saves you $500 off. You can take advantage of that until the week class starts. So you have next week, you can still take advantage of it. And then the following week up until the start of class. Once the class starts, if you sign up beyond the first day of class, that early bird payment is no longer available. There's also a payment plan. You can stretch the tuition out over 12 months. And then we do have need-based tuition for anyone who can't make the price point, your budget is fixed, you're a single parent, you're on disability, maybe you're a full-time student. But if you're someone who really wants to study astrology for the sake of spiritual growth, or maybe for the sake of learning to practice for other people, and it is outside your price point, please check that out, see if we can help you. You can email us with any questions you have about the program or need-based tuition or anything like that, info@nightlightastrology.com. All right, well, let's get into it. So Mars is going to be in Aries from May 24th to July 5th. That means that it is entering here late Tuesday night as we're looking at this coming through today. So you probably will notice it in the evening, but into tomorrow as well. And as it is entering this, the sign of Aries, it is picking up dignity. It's moving from the double-bodied water sign of Pisces into a sign that the temple of the ram, one of its home signs. What that means is it's sort of like you being in your own house or your own bedroom or something. You have more facility to do and be and act and think exactly in the way that makes you you. And this is the same thing for Mars. When Mars is in Scorpio or Aries, Mars gets to be sort of quintessentially Mars-like. And it, in that sense, its expression is not being mitigated, or it's not being compromised or qualified by another planet whose temple it is in. So for the past while now, we have had Mars in the double-bodied water sign of Jupiter. And so Mars has been behaving in a very Jupiterian-like manner. Now in a watery, feminine, Jupiter-like way. So now, and in the exaltation of Venus, by the way, too, and now it's going to be in the exaltation of the sun and in its own home sign. It's a very particular flavor. Now, we're going to be unpacking this archetype at a deeper level as we go along, because very shortly, Mars enters Aries and will conjoin Jupiter in Aries, who has also recently ingressed into the sign. Now, that conjunction is taking place on May 29th. So it's coming up very quickly, and we will be exploring that combination as the week goes on. And so these horoscopes serve to sort of prepare us not only for Mars into the sign of Aries, but also in general, we're looking at the conjunction between Mars and Jupiter. Now, what I have done is I'm just going to take you through with some kind of key words for all 12 of the signs as we go through the zodiac, starting with Aries and going all the way through Pisces. My hope is that in doing this, this will just give you a sense of kind of where to turn your attention. Every single horoscope is immense. Actually, when we look at, we apply it to your birth chart, is really complex, because we're taking into account not just, Mars moving into a new whole sign house, which is what this covers very briefly, but everything in your birth chart. So one of the reasons why I recommend studying astrology in depth at some point is so that you can take your understanding of podcasts you're listening to, like this one, and really take it to the next level in terms of being able to apply to the specific dimensions of your birth chart. That's why it's so helpful to eventually kind of become more serious with your studies. But so that being said, what we're looking at in a horoscope like this, you can listen to for your sun or rising sign, you can choose. I recommend your rising, because the whole sign house configuration of the rising sign, if you listen for that, will be the same as your whole sign house birth chart, which is what ancient astrologers and Indian astrologers look at. It's a very popular oldest, house system that we have. But what this does is it gives you a sense of what topics, broadly speaking, are going to be activated by virtue of a planet ingressing into a new whole sign house in the birth chart. That birth chart, you're not really looking at an actual configuration of your birth chart when you're looking at your sun sign, because what you're doing in a sun sign horoscope is you're configuring the horoscope as though your sun is in the first whole sign house. So unless your sun is in the first whole sign house of your birth chart, that horoscope will not line up with the way your birth chart actually looks. Many people swear by sun sign horoscopes, and that's why I say you can do either. I recommend your rising, because that's going to show you where the energy is actually flowing through the ancient view of your birth chart. Anyway, so Mars into Aries horoscopes. Let's take a look at each one. And first, we're going to start with Aries on the ascendant. I'm going to go ahead and put the real time clock up, and we will take this through one step at a time. So with this one, we are looking at the Mars and Jupiter conjunction happening in the first house. So it's got a lot of pop behind it. And we're talking about the topics of self, health, body, identity, psychology, and appearance. When these two planets come together in that first house, you're talking about the potential to be really dynamically trying to create change in terms of your self-concept or identity, your psychology, your appearance. Maybe you're becoming bolder. You need to strike out on your own. It has that flair of independence, individualize, take a stand, do something bold, start something. But this would all be also about claiming something new about your very essence, your very identity. So think about personal growth and transformation with a sort of a dynamic energy behind it. Like, you know, it's like a heat and an alchemical intensity that's saying transform, transform. Okay. So that's the, just the little brief version of it for Aries. Let's go to Taurus. So for Taurus, we are going to be looking at this this configuration in the 12th house. So for Taurus, I talk about looking at the unconscious element. There is a conflict that's trying to come to the surface in your psyche right now from the unconscious. That's that 12th house dynamic. Look at the topics of impulse control. What are the unconscious sources of anger or frustration? Are you trying to develop better control over your anger, or to develop almost like a martial discipline as a way of coping with reckless unconscious forces? Or even starting to understand the hidden source of frustrations and having the motivation, the courage to face them and deal with them. These are some of the positive and maybe more challenging elements of what I'm seeing in that 12th house placement for Taurus risings. Let's go ahead to Gemini. For Gemini, this lands in your 11th house, which is a place that was associated with friends and allies and groups of people, especially those you share something in common with. Now, to me, I could see there being ideological conflicts within groups, organizations, among colleagues or allies, or I could also see the initiation of new collaborations, brave or bold new causes and projects that are being initiated or started with like-minded people. So you could kind of go either way with that one. But those are the things that I would watch for most generally for my Geminis out there. For Cancer, we are now putting this energy of Mars into Aries with Jupiter into the 10th house. Now, this is the place of career, reputation, work in the world. So I wonder, are there conflicts happening around work or business, especially with Jupiter? Are they ideological in nature? Are there differing beliefs or values that are that you're trying to assert or establish in the career area of your life? And maybe you're dealing with people who have positions that are very different from your own, or different ideas about how things should be done. Is there competition in the workplace right now? Are you initiating new activities around work and business? Are you gaining a promotion? I see, could be very positive in terms of growth and momentum and sort of a big charge of energy in the career house. I could also see it being about, you know, power struggles within the workplace. So it kind of depends. Every chart's going to be a little different, but that's what to watch for if you're a Cancer rising. Let's go ahead and put Leo on the ascendant. For Leo risings, we are now taking this Mars-Jupiter energy and placing it into the 9th house. Now that's the place of spirituality, religion. So I could see Mars-Jupiter as a crusading mentality, missions rooted in belief, higher education, ideological conflict. I could see there being some push toward the need to assert one's beliefs, or to be, you're inspired to follow a belief or something like that. So this, to me, this is all, it's right now, if you're a Leo rising, it's all about, you know, really hearing where that drumbeat of moral, philosophical, religious calling is coming from and following it. Or on the other hand, dial it back if you're getting intense and sort of fanatical about things, or you're becoming domineering, or you're attracting people who are like that. So if we put Virgo on the ascendant, then we have conflicts related to shared resources. You'll excuse my my typo there. Let's fix that. I don't like typos. See, it's very Virgo of me, I guess, to be. Okay, so with Virgo, conflicts related to shared resources. This is in the 8th house. Or the tension between independence and dependence. And I say that because this is a transit in Mars-Jupiter that is very independent, and yet it's landing in a house that's associated with things that are shared, owed, obligations, debts. I wonder then, are we talking about establishing a new bond with someone that could be advantageous? But then again, anytime you have in the 8th house with a big Aries transit, you're thinking, well, what will I owe, or how will it entangle me? Will I be as free or independent as I think I'm going to be? So I would look for tensions between the subjects of independence and dependence on any level, emotionally, financially, as a part of what's going on here. Maybe the desire to break free from any kind of healthy dependency in particular. Let's go to Libra on the ascendant, which is going to place the Jupiter-Mars energy into the 7th house. So I think about conflict and energy and dynamism coming into relationships. At worst, I see power struggles and, again, probably like ideological conflicts about what one believes, or the potential theme of dominance around the mind or attitudes and beliefs could become very strong. And, you know, could you be facing an element of, you know, dogma or conflict in relationships around your beliefs? I think that's the extreme here. On the other hand, I look at this as someone or something that's energizing you, a person or a mentor or a coach or a trainer or something, maybe even entering your life and giving you the courage to take it up a level in whatever you're doing, or, you know, maybe also attracting someone into life who's like a very Jupiter Mars like person. And, you know, that could be complicated. It could be helpful. Hard to say. It's not going to be a one size fits all thing. Excuse me. Let's go ahead and put Scorpio on the ascendant. So for Scorpio on the ascendant, we are now placing this Mars-Jupiter energy in the sixth house. That is a place that was associated with fighting, working, hard work and sacrifice, blood, sweat, and tears. And with Mars-Jupiter, you think of, what is the noble cause? What is worth expending energy? What is worth being frustrated about? What is worth having to sacrifice on behalf of or for? So I see this as potentially for Scorpio, like a battle cry that's coming out and saying, you can overcome tough times. You can rise above something. You can learn something, even if it requires a lot of work and sacrifice, and you're energized to do so. I'm going to a boot camp. It has that kind of a feeling to it. On the other hand, the question about what is actually worthy of your time, your energy, and your sacrifice, and what isn't. I think that question is going to be a part of what Scorpios are looking at. When we move along to Sagittarius, putting Sag on the ascendant, then we are talking about the Mars-Jupiter conjunction taking place in the fifth house. Now, that is the place that's associated with, it was called the joy of Venus and the house of good fortune, and it's generally associated with things that are pleasant or enjoyable or satisfying creatively, romantically, sexually, but also just things like going out for dinner and having fun with friends or going to the movies or anything like that. So I wonder right now for Sagittarius about things that are kind of energizing, dynamic, fun, competitive, creative, even flirtation and romance. I could see there being like a big tournament for your kids' sports team or something like that. I could also see there being, generally speaking, questions about a child's education or the values imparted to children. I could also see this being potentially about, activism surrounding topics like women, children, pregnancy, and things like that. But overall, I feel that this energy is one that's, you know, asking for there to be some focus on what brings joy or happiness. And to me, this is like, you know, the one thing you'd want to watch out for is kind of like partying too hard or overdoing things, because that, you know, Mars Jupiter is a bit like a high school party that goes too far or something like that. So, you know, be a little bit careful of the, pressing the gas pedal too hard around what brings joy or pleasure. But otherwise, I could see these being really important topics and topics that probably bring a greater level of happiness this month. So I like the Sag horoscopes in particular. All right, well, Capricorn, we take this energy of Jupiter Mars and we bring it into the fourth house. Sorry, the banner's covering it up a little bit. There it is. You can see it down there at the bottom. And we're looking at the potential for conflict, tension, or that energizing quality of Mars and Jupiter at the roots, around where you live and the living environment or space that you live in, around roots and home and family, around what grounds you. If there is any transit that could be that transit that says, I need to become my own base of support. I need to be stronger, more independent. I need to develop the resources within myself to give myself a stable base to work from in life. This would be the one. So psychologically, it could be motivating you to become more self-sufficient at the roots. On the other hand, I could see this as, you know, moving, buying or selling land or property, conflicts or power struggles or competition around home and family. But any kind of dynamism entering that sphere of home and family looks like it's the focus here. All right, well, let's move on to Aquarius on the ascendant, which puts Mars and Jupiter in the third house. Now, this place is a place This is a house associated with the mind and environment. So I think that you could see this being like the mind on fire, passionate about learning, hostile communication, but also bold ideas. This is like, you know, Mars Jupiter could be like shock jock radio in the sports world in the third house, but you, or like Howard Stern or something. But you could also see someone with a message or a mission, saying something, communicating something, writing something. Or you could see this as a time where you're initiating the study of something new, maybe with a teacher of some kind, the subject of education coming up. But anyway, I think this is also a time you have to be careful about communicating with too much force or becoming dominant unconsciously about things that you're very passionate about. So those are a few things to watch for if you are an Aquarius rising. Now, last but not least, we're going, as always, we put Pisces on the ascendant. And to me, this one's pretty exciting because here you have a benefic like Jupiter, along with such an energizing planet like Mars. You've also still got Venus, the other benefic in that house. And I think you're looking at, okay, first, there's definitely the potential for conflict around money or business or resources. But more specifically, I see this as very entrepreneurial, a new stream of income, a business idea, a launching of a new product or a new service, developing a new skill that could become profitable in time, maybe not right now, but something that you're going to start developing that in time becomes more profitable. So I really like this as an engaging energy for business and money and a growth-oriented feeling about it. But there might be some risk involved. You might have to put yourself out there a little bit more than you're comfortable with. But you could also see maybe some quality of, you know, really getting clear about your values. Where am I going to invest my time, my money, my energy, and my resources? And what am I hoping to get back from that investment personally, spiritually, and financially? So, you know, also a time to get clear. I could see this also really as a time where you're purchasing something and you're just going for it. And I would just be, you know, be careful not to make impulse purchases with Mars Jupiter in this position. So that is a little jaunt through the 12 signs for Jupiter and Mars. Mars and Jupiter, I should say, we will be looking at that combination in greater depth and detail as the week goes on from an archetypal perspective. So today was just kind of quick hit about where you see this energy in your birth chart right now. As the week goes on, what we're going to do is say, well, what are Mars and Jupiter really about philosophically, spiritually, psychologically? How can we turn that archetype and, you know, get into the mandala that is the Mars-Jupiter transit? It's one of the bigger transits of the year, and we've had a bunch of them all together in the past couple of months. So it's going to be really interesting just to see how this plays out. And, you know, I have it highlighted. I had it highlighted when I did my year overview as one of the more combustible transits of the year, too. I would not be surprised to see issues around, you know, violence and hostility, you know, in the collective popping up, questions about guns or conflicts or martial arts or, you know, questions about warfare. So again, we'll be sure to be, you know, to look at this transit from a number of different angles. As always, thank you guys for listening. Please like and subscribe, share your comments below. We will be doing a grabbed episode either Wednesday or Thursday of this week, I believe. So a lot of good stories that have come in. But if you have one about Mars entering Aries or Mars Jupiter this week, use the hashtag grabbed or email us grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. Tell us your transit story. We collect them and share your stories once in a while. Usually you'll see more episodes than we have been doing. And the reason for that is that this spring has been jam-packed with a lot of the biggest transits of the year. And I have found that it is better to do those storytelling episodes when there's little lulls between major transits. So I'm just kind of waiting for that time to appear. All right, that's what I've got for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I hope to see some of you in class soon. I forgot to mention that one last time. Don't forget the new class starts on June 12th. You can check it out on the website as well, nightlightastrology.com. All right, take it easy, guys. See you tomorrow. Bye.